TIPSNET, July 29th.
TIPSNET, calling the Tri-City TIPSNET for Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. Good evening, welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSNET. This is November Kilo 1 Victor. My name is Steve, and I am located in Coventry, Connecticut. Good evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those who do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on 147.060 MHz with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7. The net is held each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSNET is a directed open net. That means we will call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everybody checked in, we will go down through the list for comments and questions. During check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. This evening we're actually going to be, we have an existing topic. We're going to do some discussion on parks on the air. And I guess that can also be related to any other portable type operations, or also the the venue also allows for if someone else has another question, you're more than welcome to throw that into the mix. And so when you check in, please let me know if you have any new questions or any questions that we can bring up. There are three sections to this TIPSNET. The first is open round of questions and comments, just to describe. Second will be a moment for announcements and upcoming events, items of interest. And the third will be an opportunity for those who wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking in to the net, please say, "This is," release the mic slowly, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name, location, and any comments or any comment or question. This is Steve, November Kilo, 1 Victor, your net control station for this evening. We will start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Dave and Preston, good evening.
Bob in Oakdale. No questions. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf, Kevin, in Norwich. No topics or questions. Steve, I noticed your signal's a little noisy. It's perfectly usable. It's just not full quieting like it usually is, just so you know.
One Tango Whiskey Romeo, Tim City Grub. No questions.
Here is Whiskey One Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey. Chuck in the City of Groton. No questions. Good evening.
K1DCT Dave, good evening. W1RPQ Bob. KA6BDD Kevin in Norwich. KC1TWR Tim. And W1FJW Chuck. Are there any other stations with permission to check into the Tri-City Dipset. Many of you know I'm a big Parks on the Air fan. Parks on the Air is a program that was actually, the quote is a group that's inspired by the outstanding work of Sean Kosciusko, don't ask me to pronounce that correctly, KX9X, and Norm Barroso, W31Z, W3IZ, pardon me, the American Radio Relay Radio League. They did a big thing in 2016 with Parks on the Air. Was a short of, you know, time event, and they closed it out and did not continue, but these guys inspired everybody else to get going with this, and there's close to 6,000 members. I heard 5,000, but I just saw on the Facebook page that they got 5.8K for members, so that's not doing too bad. Let me reset. After you register, because you need to register your call sign at the parksontheair.com website, which many of you actually already are, you can either hunt or activate, either or both, or hunting would be something you can do either from your home, you know, your air-conditioned home and everything. You could do from another park, you could do from mobile, any location. Most people are doing it from their house. Activating is something you would do from a registered park, which is a huge database of parks, which is all on the website. And basically, we use a system of spotting on the Parks on the Air website has a spotting system. They also use Slack, which I don't use too much of because I'm not too familiar with it, but I have dabbled around with it. And also Facebook, if you're into Facebook, there's a lot going on that. It definitely, either way, suggest that you join their Facebook page. Let me reset. So I'm going to want just a couple more comments, and then I'm going to pass down the I'll check for check-ins after I do that, and then I'll open it up for any questions towards me or anybody else. I know there's a couple other guys that are doing this, and it's one thing I definitely say, it's a great time, and even if you're not that much into the whole concept of Parks on the Air, it's an excellent opportunity to check your own systems for how the radio, how everything's communicated and everything. And generally, it's a very low stress environment. It's not like contesting and stuff like that. We're just trying to make contacts, and small QSOs are acceptable, and it'll get kind of crazy sometimes. There'll be some good pileups and stuff, which can be a lot of fun, especially when you're in a park getting attacked by mosquitoes. Let me see what else I mentioned on the run through. We can also go over, I'm going to go over some of the logging stuff. I think there were some questions on that. And anything else? So I'm going to open it up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to check, do a call out for one more round of check-ins if there's anybody else who wants to check in, and then we're going to go through the list. So are there any check-ins for the Tri-City Dipset? Okay, nothing heard. This is November Kilo 1 Victor. We're going to start with Dave, Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening, and any comments or any questions?
Yes, good evening. This is K1DCT. Good evening to all. Yes, I think I've formulated a couple of questions here. Nothing too strenuous, I'm sure, but let's say once I'm registered, which I'm looking at on the interweb right now, how to get that done, and I decide someday, it's a Goldilocks day, not too hot, not too cold. I decide I want to go somewhere to a park, not too far, 15, 20 miles maybe at the most. I obviously would have to look online if the park's already been activated. Can I activate it again? Is my first question. And We'll go with that, and we'll see. I'll come up with more. K1DCP, back to that.
Okay, thank you, Dave. NK1V here. I'm actually going to answer those questions, and then we'll go on to Bob. Yes, activating, the parts are all listed. I actually happened to be, because I saw there was a lot going, they just did a huge expansion. I'm actually the map coordinator for, a representative, I should say coordinator, I'm a mapping representative for Connecticut and Rhode Island, because there'll be one Rhode Island at the time, so I took that on too, which is not too big of a deal. So, yeah, on the whole list of maps, of parks, I'm sorry, are all national and state parks. The group is actually working, doing some voting and stuff on expanding that to some historical sites and so on. But any of the parks listed, there's no bonus whatsoever for being the first one to activate a park. Parks can be activated. There's several, you know, as many times, just infinitely. The hunters are looking for parks. They're looking for, I mean, there's 5,000 people looking to make a contact at that park. So there's plenty of people looking to activate the park. There's a couple close ones here that I will go to. One I have like 7 activations, the other one I believe I have like 11 activations. The activations consist of making 10, you have to make 10 solid contacts to consider being activated. So yes, you can continually, especially if you've got a park close by, you can go there every day and activate and get your 10 or 11 in and try again the next day. And there's also one of the cool things, which we generally call wallpaper, because there's nothing but a plaque that you can stick on your wall. At one particular park, let me reset. At one particular park, you can try to achieve what they call a Kilo Award, which is obviously making 1,000 contacts at that one park. And that's I think actually Chuck, SPX, he's actually done that at one or a couple parks. He's very good at doing that stuff. So that being said, I think I answered the question, and yeah, so there's plenty of parks, and there's always new ones coming up also. I think it's kind of a certain cool factor to being an all-time, they have an acronym for the ones that have not been activated yet. I always, when new ones come out, everybody always races it out, because it's just kind of a cool thing, but there's no bonus for it or anything like that. That being said, I will send it off to Bob, W1RPQ. Good evening.
This is W1RPQ. While you were explaining all that, I was able to go on to the website and get myself registered. And now I'm just wandering through and looking at the statistics. And I know that I've talked to several parks on the air. I'll have to go back through my logs and see if I have any notes on that. But this looks very interesting and looks like a fun way to spend some time, especially now that we're looking for things to do that don't involve crowds, so this should be kind of fun. Other than that, I'm going to send it back to Net Control. This is W1RPQ.
Thanks, Bob. November Kilo 1 Victor. Yeah, that's good. It's pretty easy. The website is still a little bit tricky in some angles. Please, anybody listening, even if you haven't checked in, feel free to look me up on QRZ. My email is good there. I'd always be happy. It was a little bit tricky at first, navigating some of the stuff. They have several tutorials on getting started and going and all that stuff and navigating the site. It's all 100% volunteers. All the developing and everything is all done by volunteers. All the blog stuff is by volunteers, and so it's, and they all have families and other things going on, so they're still putting it all together. It's just an interesting concept. One thing to mention also is, so far as logging, in case anybody, I want to mention this because it's actually important, I use, and I'm not selling or not selling it, but I use N3FJP for all my, actually for everything I bought is sweet, but I also use it for parks on the air, secondarily because Scott was very good about helping me readjust his software to fit my needs. So that's something I or him could easily help you with, because it's helping it tab through so that it fits parks on the air, but yet still will fit into your regular logbook. Let me reset. submit a log to Parks on the Air. You can obviously keep your own log going, which you would want to do, whatever means you use, but only the activators have to submit to Parks on the Air, and that is cross-checked through whatever algorithms, and as long as you're registered, like Bob is now, you will get credit for all your contacts. You know, that's why it's important that basically they're exported out of whatever program. They use the ADIF format, and it's real easy once you get the hang of it. It took me a little bit to figure it out, but now I get everything all set. I convert it and ship it up to them, and there's a representative that is someone who's a volunteer and gets to it when they can and takes care of all that, and it's great. So thanks, Bob, and thanks for registering. I can't wait to hear you out there. I will now pass it on to Kevin, KA6, BDG. Good evening.
Hi, Stephen. Good evening to the net, KA6PDG. Well, I wrote down a few notes. I'll try not to be too verbose. I imagine most people have found the website by Googling Parks on the Air, but you may want to give it just in case. You've touched a little bit on the some of the awards that are available, so you may want to talk a little bit more about that. One thing that I have noticed that's cool about Parks on the Air, and as the North American Kilowatt Club, we do it as a club activity. You don't have to. But one of the things that's cool is the parks that are registered, the parks that are valid to activate, is actually a retroactive list. What I mean by that, and I know of cases where hams have taken advantage of this, say in 2003, you went visiting Grandma's house up in upstate New York, and while you were visiting Grandma for a few weeks, you went to one of the local state parks or something and did some hamming. Or maybe in 1996, your ham radio club did field day from what was a state park or a national park or something. And that park is not on the list of registered places with Parks on the Air. But presto changeo, all of a sudden, later in the year, you look at the list, and, oh wow, that park that I went to in 2003 is on the list. As an activator, you can then get credit for those contacts that you made, assuming you kept your log and can send in a log. So I think that's really cool. There are cases sometimes when two hams will be activating one park. I've heard of instances where a guy will show up at a park to activate and somebody's already there activating it. You can have more than one ham activating a park. Obviously, they're going to use different call signs. So let's see, I got a couple more here, but I think I don't want to, you know, be verbose. This is, you're doing a great job, Steve. So let me pass back to you, and maybe I'll share some more thoughts with you later on. KA6PDG.
Thanks, Kevin. NK1V, yeah, those are actually all great, great points, and I know you have experience with it, and especially multiple people at a park. The retroactive thing, that is 100% true. As long as you made 10 QSOs at that location, you will get credit for that, and so will the people that you contact, assuming you kept a good log. One other thing you mentioned, I do mostly phone right now. I am working on my CW, because CW is very popular on Parks on the Air. There's also all the digital modes, FT8 and all that other stuff. I don't get too involved in that, but I know there's a lot of that going on. I'm going to mention some of it. Also, all that. So, yes, multiple people, I'll often have multiple people at different parks, and on the same note as that, you can be, there's a place that we're actually be going in a couple of weeks where there's a national forest, which is a national park, and there's a state park within that, so you can actually get credit for both those. And same thing if there's two people at the park, there's a couple couples, I guess you would call it, that go to do quite a few activations, and you'll be able to get credit for both those call signs if they're there. And I think, Kevin, you do actually do that with Chuck. I have done that with Chuck. You know, that's all legitimate. And Let me see, let me reset. And yes, if there's actually two amateurs at one park, you can do your park to park from there. I've actually had amateur radio operators show up when I was first getting going up in Windham, and I had people, they were cruising through from pre-COVID and everything, that they were driving through from somewhere and stopped in just to, you know, to rest a little bit, and I got a simplex contact with him. He had his HD with him, and I turned my power down, and he stood in front of my truck, took the windshield, and we made a contact. So that's all was good, as long as you're using, the only thing you can't use, really, is repeaters. And then you can do some satellite stuff, too. I would have to look up the complete rules on that, but, I think you can use the satellite things with no problem. All great points, Kevin, and I probably missed something because my notes are horrible, but I will now check in with KC1 TWR. Tim, any comments or questions?
Thank you, Steve. Very interesting conversation. Two questions that come to mind, and I probably missed them being talked about earlier. If so, I apologize for being redundant. Number one, do town parks count? And number two, and I seem to remember somebody else talking about this on a different day, is there like a spotting website where people who aren't at the parks but want to help people who are doing parks can go to say, oh, so-and-so is over here. Let me dial up the radio and give them a holler. Help them out while he's trying to activate a park. So those are my two questions, and again, if I'm redundant, my apologies. Back to NK1V, KC1GWR.
KC1DWR, Tim, no, actually those are great points and things on my list, and my brain is so scattered, I'm very glad you mentioned them, and I'm going to start with the second one first, because that's the real important one. If anybody's on the website or has been, which is, just as it sounds, in one word, parksontheair.com, is going to get you to the main page, and the, I just remembered rewards, I'm going to mention that. The spotting page, if you're on almost all of the pages on the top, there's a says POTUS spots up top, and that's the one that I mainly use. It'll come up some point here. It'll come up and it'll show all the people that are on. They'll have their call sign, their the park that they're at, based on the, they're not all K-dash numbers. Most of them are in the United States. There are some Canadian ones, which are VE, and this is global, so there's other abbreviations for the parks. And it will have their frequency that they're on and what state, and they can put other comments in there too. So that's the main source that I usually use. Several people use Facebook. People are always checking that. A lot of times, depending on your internet access, that's a better choice. Like I said, again, they also go back to the Slack, and I believe the POTUS spotting page somehow connects to the Slack, but I'm not sure how all that works right now. Let me reset. I will be struggling, and we're going to Vermont again this, end of the next month, and one of the biggest problems I had there is I did not have any cell phone or data service, and I went to a park, and without that initial spot, that's usually what really gets the ball rolling if you're an activator, because nobody knows you're there. And I was able to get a local repeater, but it was a business day, and I presume that everybody was at work at the time. It was like 2 in the afternoon, and, I would assume that someone would have answered. I called that repeater several times and with no response. One of the things that I plan to do is contact through Facebook or through a text message before I'm out of cell service and tell us, and a lot of people will post on Facebook, and you can also do on the spotting pages a time thing, what activations for today. And you can put your approximate time and the target frequency area that you want to be in, that you plan to be in. And there are people that will be looking for you. And if, once you get the first one, especially if it's someone that's familiar with Parks on the Air, they will respot you. And I usually will ask, too, if I'm in a bad area, to please spot me. And that works very well. And once that starts, it's the pileup's coming. Let me reset. 5 here, Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet, and one more coming up, and then I'm going to check for check-ins. So please stand by if you're trying to get in. But the amount of parks is just actually amazing, how many states, and especially Connecticut, has a tremendous amount of parks across the country. And local parks are not really on cue yet. What we're kind of on the table is some historical sites and, you know, of good historical value, which is actually kind of the proper thing to be doing right now, considering history. We're trying to eliminate history in this country, so that's kind of a good thing to be promoting, you know, historical locations and stuff like that. We're working on some of that. And for now, it's just federal and state parks. And it could be state forests, but as long as it's run by the state entity or the federal entities, you know, it can't be a local jurisdiction. And I can see why, because it would just be buried with parks and stuff and locations, and it would just be, you know, a bit overwhelming at first, but that doesn't mean it won't come. And, you know, little by little. So let me go W1, FJW. Chuck, any comments or questions? And we're going to do some calls.
Just one. What is the required exchange? Is this like a contest we have to pass certain key information, or do you just have a QSO? Back to net, W1FJW.
And K1V, excellent question. From my list. Yeah, in the law, the only things important for parks on the air, one of the most important things in whatever source you use, especially if you're an activator and going to park, is the time. You want your, don't do that. Is your, you know, UTC, everything is UTC, and you want to stick with that for your time. You want call sign, location, and the park number. And the activator will be giving out the park number. It's also often available in the on the spotting page. So that's all you really need. And signal report, everybody does a signal report, but that's not required for the parks on the air records and stuff. That's so the fact that you're both confident that you've made a QSO is all that matters. So there's no, I think that's all you need. I've mentioned also time. State is nice to have, you know, what state, both call signs. Usually do a signal report, and then the park number is important. And if you're doing a park to park, it's somewhat critical that the times are UTC and accurate, because the algorithm uses that as a checksum for if that's, you know, if it's for real or not. Let me reset. So I think I've answered all your questions. You can hit me again with that one again. I think I answered all of it. Yeah, because it's pretty basic to logging. So that's why Scott was so helpful in reducing all the extra stuff. I was able to reduce that right down so I can go through the log and try to enter as much. I usually put my grid square, my GPS location, all that stuff in the big part of the log. I'm pretty big, being the mapping representative, I try to mark every little location. And I'm talking about marking stuff. One of the things we do also as activators, we try to absolutely minimize our footprint at the parks and natural resources and stuff. Well, we try to be an advocate for all those situations, and it does promote them incredibly, especially if you see all the stuff on Facebook and stuff, and it's such a good opportunity to get out to places that I even knew were just 15, 20 minutes away from my house. And yeah, so because when I originally started, I was shooting things up in the trees and all that kind of stuff, and now I stick more with, you know, stuff that's a little more, much less of a footprint, you know, verticals when I can, and I do some dipole stuff, but using fiberglass poles off the truck and stuff. Let me reset one more time. And just a quick mention that there's also an organization called SOTA, which is Summits on the Air. It's very similar. They're like the Holy Grail people. Those are people that actually have to be at the summit of a certain location. Their rules are a little bit different, but there are often people doing SOTA activations that you'll get. Most of them are QRP, and you will get them, and they'll be in a park that's a POTA park. Usually you can straighten all that out. They'll be, you know, taking care of all that in their logs, because they'll probably do both logs. But that's always a double score, too, if you can get someone on a summit. And they also have the advantage of being able to do a lot of VHF stuff, too, so that's a plus-plus. Okay, let me reset. Hi, this is November Kilo 1 Victor. Detroit, this is the Tri-City TipsNet. We have a little bit different format this evening. I am open now for any check-ins. If there's anybody who'd like to check in and has a question or not, please come with your call sign. No sale, we scared them all away. Alright, I'm going to start right back up with Dave, see if I've helped him at all, if anything else has come to his mind. I know that Dave is very interested in all of this, and like I said, you can also catch me on the radio. And everybody knows how to get a hold of me there, but my email is good on QRZ, so that's a resource too, and I'm more than happy, as you can tell now, once I get going on this stuff, it's hard to get me to keep quiet. K1, DCT, Dave, any more comments or any further questions?
Well, good evening again. This is K1DCT. Well, first I'll start with a comment that I want to thank you very much, Steve, for doing this. This is, I'm not sure how active I'm going to get on this, but there's a few parks around that I wouldn't mind hitting up. But I will throw a question out there. I noticed I've been looking at the map. I actually signed in like Bob did. Signed up, got in, looked around, poked around a little bit. Maybe I should say fumbled around a little bit. But suppose there's a place that I know is state-owned land, but it's not necessarily a park. It's a place I'm talking about, actually a wildlife preservation area. And I'm wondering, how can I get that added to the list if I so choose?
So I'll toss that out there. Back to net, K1DCT. And K1V, Tri-City TipsNet. Excellent question, Dave. And now is an excellent time. Yeah, anything that's a state entity, and there's sure I have his call sign eludes me. But there's a gentleman that I've been working with. I am the mapping representative for Connecticut. I do not deal with the actual system. They won't let me touch that. But I am the one that assembles all the locations and the parks and the suggestions and make corrections and mapping and so on. Round one was done a while ago. Round two is done. I am now working on round three, and I'm one of the things I have missed just because of was slightly, being overwhelmed a little bit because there's so much state-owned property in Connecticut. Yes, so long as it's state-owned, I'm going to start working on some of these trails, some of the trails we have, the airline trails and all that kind of thing, because those are all in anything of that. That's what I usually need, and the other gentleman's been sending me, and I can look it up myself. It's just email me the suggestion, and over the next couple weeks it's going to be good because I'm thinking at the end of August I'm going to resubmit to Jason another nice big list. If you can find any page where the DEP is mentioned, or pretty much the DEP is the main entity of all those properties like that, that's excellent, because then that gives me the goal point where I can figure out what the property and what the lines are and everything like that. Because you, as an activator, you do have to be on the state property or federal property, which there is none in Connecticut. There's no real federal parks in Connecticut. You have to be on the state property, and you cannot be on private property. So if someone's property overlaps or something, which I don't think actually happens, but you can't, be right on someone's property. They're all game, and like I say, now is a good time because I'm working on a list. So if there's something in your mind, shoot me an email, and any website that you can find on it is a plus, but I don't really need that because I will find that I'm getting actually pretty good at it. If anybody needs a land survey or anything like that, I'm getting pretty good at all that stuff. NK1V here, and I will, and don't worry about fumbling, let me reset. Everybody struggles with all the website and everything from the get-go because it's getting much better, and these guys are doing such a great job, the administrators. But it's still a couple little loopholes, and it's kind of a little different format. And let's say they're all volunteers and they're all doing it on their spare time. And a lot of these guys. guys have to sit on a beautiful Saturday morning and decide whether to work on the website or go out and activate, so it's usually not a tough decision. So, and a lot of extra, I was mentioning like people here and stuff, like there's quite a few guys that will actually track me down. Kevin knows the guys on the 3838 club and stuff. A few of them guys will be looking for me now if I'm going, if I can do a morning activation after the thing, they'll help me out, especially if I'm on 80 meters or something. So I will turn it now to Bob, W1RPQ. Hopefully I've answered questions that are good to you, and if you have any further questions.
MK1V, this is W1RPQ. You've answered a whole lot of questions, and I went on that spotting page and actually dialed up two parks that were on the air. Kind of broken up because they were quite far away, but I could actually hear them, so that was kind of cool. And spotted one of them again, respotted rather, I should say. My question is kind of along with Dave's question. Across from where I live is a National Audubon Society refuge, and I was wondering if it's the same. It's not state land, but it is National Audubon Society. I wonder how they handle those. K1V, this is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Yeah, like I said, right now, the federal and state parks and forests and stuff are all in. I know that they're working on some historical sites. Something like that, definitely shoot me an email, because I will work on that. If I can, these guys are out in Missouri, and, you know, the administrators and stuff like that, you know, I can sneak some of those in, too. As long as I can justify that it's, I don't know if the Audubon Society is a good, and I don't even know if it has to be. I can check with Jason, if I have a question. He's usually open for an email or two, as long as I don't bombard him with ones. And if there's something that you're really liking, I can try and see. And I know that we're working on getting more into that. They're just trying to see if all the mapping reps and stuff are on board, because, you know, it's going to be a whole other big round of stuff. But all the activators are in for it, because all activators love being the first one at a park. And especially having one that's very convenient to go to. Like up here, I have the Nathan Hill Forest, and I could, you know, I'm just minutes away. I have tons of activations there, and it's just a go-to spot for, and it's also a spot that I use because I have a nice, like, fire road that I go up on, and I can do a lot of testing and stuff, portable stuff, just hope I get my 10Q. So it's because that's another thing to mention real quick. If you go for an activation and you do not achieve your 10 calls, you know, your 10Q zones, you still need to send in your log, even if you only get one contact, because that other person will only get credit if you send in your log. So that's another thing to remember. Yeah, good question, Bob. Yes, we are working on that. Not yet, but I presume that pretty soon, because this thing is takes off pretty good. NK1V, and I will now, Kevin, KA6, PDG. Great bunch of questions last time. You got more for me?
Well, the one I did have, you pretty much answered. I was not familiar with the mapping representatives, and you kind of described that. And also, I do know if you don't know that you have a mapping representative, or you don't know who it is in the area that you're in, there's one of the big honchos that parks on the air, and I can't remember. I know he's on the East Coast somewhere, that you can email or whatever and make your suggestion about, hey, I'd like to see this park or this location be added to the list. It may take years, it may take a few months, but they are sensitive to those kinds of suggestions. But I didn't know they had mapping representatives, and that's way cool. Let's see, one thing, if you'll allow me to mention, when you do park to park, what's cool about that is then you are both an activator and a hunter. And so you're giving that guy hunter contacts, and vice versa. He's giving you, when we were up in New Hampshire, before Field Day actually started, we were doing some parks on the air stuff. And it was actually fun, because on a couple occasions, we'd be down at the next campsite at KC1MVX's camper there, munching on hot dogs or drinking coffee, and we'd be sitting around the radio. And One of us would be seated at the table making contact, and when there was a park-to-park, we'd give our call sign, which was the club call sign, November Alpha 1 Kilo Whiskey. But then we'd also provide the call signs of the five hams, count them, five hams, that were also sitting around the table present. And so that park was getting, for the price of one contact, he was getting five contacts. That was kind of cool. One other thing that might be fun to mention, and you did a nice job of covering spotting, and you can spot yourself or you can have somebody else spot you. As you alluded to, you could even get on a repeater and get somebody to spot you. You just can't make a valid contact through a repeater. One thing that Chuck has done, SPX, is if he's out of range. Toward the beginning, when we first started doing Parks on the Air, he and I would set up skeds if he was going to be out of range of the internet. He'd say, well, we'd set up a sked for 7 in the morning. And he'd be out at the park, he'd tell me where he was, because he didn't know the night before where he was going to be. And since I have a little trouble with the POTA website, I'd get a hold of his wife and have her spot him. She's a ham, of course. The other thing you can do, which is way cool, I think, is you can use WinLink. And basically, you could use WinLink to send an email to somebody back home. Or to somebody you know, send KC1TWR an email through WinLink and say, hey Tim, I'm at park number K2228 and I'm on such and such a frequency, would you please spot me? Of course, you probably want to arrange that ahead of time because Tim might not be home that week, or maybe he's on a bender or something and isn't near the phone. K6PDG back to net.
Yes, Kevin, very good. Yeah, that's all good. The spotting things, all that's what I say. I'm trying to call it tricks because where I'll be going, a couple of my first activations, I was not in Connecticut and I was traveling. I thought this would be such a great idea and I just flopped because I couldn't. One of them, I did get a hold of somebody on 40 meters and they had no idea what I was talking about. And thanks for the cue, somebody. And yeah, anything that you can prearrange when you're going to, especially if you have a pretty good idea where you're going and a pretty good idea what frequency. And yeah, the WinLink thing is a good idea. Something I'm kind of not set up for, but in my basket of things to get set up on, because that's the very good. You can make any kind of contact for your spotting. Your QSOs have to be direct. And on the club thing, yes, the nice thing about the way they do the logging, like when I do K1HRR, we were going to do some bigger ones this year, but obviously with COVID, it's changed plans and stuff. We were going to do a couple island things because one of the guys has a boat and everything. What I do is I would call out as the club call sign and then put me as the operator. So I'm sure Chuck got he's an ace with that stuff. He got the log all squared away. But the easiest way is to put the club as a call sign, and then of course then you have to keep changing the operator. So I'm sure he did that manually after. But if you're the sole person calling for a club, the club call sign will automatically go in because that's what you're calling out. And then you can just put yourself as the operator when you submit the log, and you never actually have to give your call sign because the hunter will get credit for that when the log gets processed. I think Chuck mentioned, and I forgot, I didn't finish up on that, on the format for the QSOs and stuff like that. Let me reset. The whole format is very informal. There will be pileups, and 90% of the Parks on the Air people, sometimes you'll get some other people in and stuff, and there's some people that get a little bit too much into it. It's all about fun, enjoying the parks, enjoying company, and in most cases, the contacts are relatively quick. It's just important information. A lot of times, it's poor conditions, and you get your single report and your call signs and your park numbers, and then you go to the next one, and a lot of times you don't even need to call out, or you just, quick QRZ and the next person will be there. And that's one thing that is traditional, is to wait until the activator has either said QRZ or called out, or has said, a lot of times 7 something, you know, if someone has said a 7-3 or something like that, that indicates that it has ended. Because forcing a pile up, just a big mess, this is not fun for anybody, but it does happen because other people can't hear other people. And one thing you mentioned, park the parks, one thing they're very good about, I've never had anybody stomp on me knowingly, is when there's a park the park, that's usually what either of the activators will call out. It's just park the park, and everybody just stands by, and it's the greatest feeling. And then you make your contact with the park to park, because everybody's listening, and then you get that achieved, and then they come barreling back in, and that's nice. And if things aren't going that good, if you get somebody, sometimes you'll get someone very pleasant that doesn't really understand what you're doing, and they want to have a little cue, so that's completely acceptable. And I've had some very good conversations, especially on a slower activation. I'll take a minute or two and chat, and that's perfectly acceptable. And most people stand by. If they don't feel like standing by, they'll just get on the spot and page and go on to the next one. And so hope that answers that. And with that, I will pass it on to W1FJW. Chuck. This is November Kilo 1 Victor, W1FJW, you there?
My question's been answered. I have no further questions. Back to net, W1FJW.
I'm going to do one more call out. This is November Kilo 1 Victor for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Is there anybody else who'd like to check in? Please come with your call sign now. All right. I'm going to do just one open up, see if anyway, we're getting run out of time here. And this is, I think, sounding pretty good. You guys have had great questions. Is there anybody who has any further questions or comments about the park on the air subject? Please come now. All right, nothing heard. One thing I was going to mention, I didn't write it down. I thought about it a couple of times, but with Tim, it's always a interesting topic on any of these nets in this area is the subject of food, which we didn't mention this evening, but that's actually part of your parks on the air planning is making sure I got my little plastic cooler and whatever the day is going to be, whatever refreshments and snacks, and because if you plan on being there an hour, chances are you'll be there too. If you plan on doing it before work, chances are you'll be late for work and so on. So yeah, that's a part of the whole thing. So I will what are we doing now? That's it for the first thing. The second section, announcements and items of interest. Is there anybody has any announcements or items of interest for everybody on the net? Please come with your call sign.
KA6PDG. All right, and amen on the food, by the way. I just want to keep everybody reminded of the Race On picnic coming up on Thursday, August 20. Thursday, August 20, starting at 6 p.m. at the East Crate Point Firehouse in Norwich. That's over at the intersection of Route 82 and New London Turnpike. They have a wonderful, spacious, covered outdoor pavilion. Plenty of room for distancing, places where we're going to be able to cook the meat and stuff. All are welcome. You don't have to be a member of Race On. Be an amateur operator. Bring a guest or two. Bring the kids. Bring the XYL or the cousin or the nephew or whatever. And come and have a good time. If you plan on attending and have not already, let us know. If you'd contact me or W1FJW, one of the two of us, let us know you're coming. We just want to make sure that we have enough goodies and everything. The club will provide the meat And there's going to be beverages provided. It is a family event, so no alcohol. And if you want to bring it a side dish or a dessert, that's up to you. Just kind of be sensitive to current conditions, and I'm sort of recommending if somebody's going to bring a salad or a dessert, maybe buy something that's been prepared and packaged at a commercial kitchen like your favorite restaurant or deli or grocery store. That's sort of, it's different this year, so do what you're comfortable with. August 20th, we'd love to see a lot of you there. Please come. It's always a good time. KA6PDG, back tonight.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Very important announcement. One quick little thing that I think Kevin actually mentioned. Geez, now I forgot it. You mentioned it, and I forgot it. Oh, about the awards. There are awards for what they are. They're basically what we call jokingly wallpaper. But there's all kinds of things for different levels. You know, check out on the website. There's all different levels for even, and they start them in pretty early. You know, like for 10 QSOs and 10 activations and so on and so forth, and it builds. And the bonus, the number on, there's actually a gentleman who I've talked to multiple times in Canada. I won't quote his call sign because I'm not going to go digging around for it right now. Here he is, VE3LDT. Kevin may or may not have heard of him. He is the leader hunter of all times, and he has 8,275 contacts, and he'll hunt you down. So anyways, the third section of our tips net is, where am I here? Third section, anyone who wishes to swap or sell or looking for amateur radio-related equipment, please call me. Your call sign now. MK1V, all right, I guess that's nothing. This is November Kilo 1 Victor, Net Control for Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Weekly Tips Net. Are there any additional check-ins? Please call now before we close the net.
Here it is. Kilo Charlie 1, November, Bravo, King. Jeremy Nobel, no, but.
Kilo Charlie 1, November, Bravo, and I missed your last letter, and welcome aboard. Do you have any comments?
No comments. I just lost track of time there, and I was like, oh man, I missed the tips net, and I turned it on, and you already closed it, so I figured I would check in and say hi. And it's Jeremy KC1NBY, Kilo Charlie 1, November, Bravo, Yankee. Back in net control.
And K6PDT, Kevin, are you recording this evening?
Yeah, you were reading my mind. I was going to recheck in as to make that announcement. If you missed the net tonight, or any tips net, or you heard it and you want to hear it again, just go to, my mind just went zero, just go to am1700.org/tipsnet. I'll repeat that. alphamike1700.org/tipsnet. And pretty much all the nets for the last, I think it'll be 3 years pretty soon. All the nets have been recorded and are on there for you to listen to or download. And I should have this one posted in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Okay, 6PDG. Thanks, Steve.
This week is one worth listening to. There's a lot going on there. That was last call. No further check-ins. I personally want to thank the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club and the TipsNet for letting me use this venue to promote a part of the hobby that I just absolutely adore. It's a total inspiration. Parks on the Air, it's been one of the coolest things that I get involved in. I know there's multiple facets of this hobby. Just a personal opinion. And I want to thank all those who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet and thank all those who stood by while we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meetings, and this may not be correct because I didn't update my thing, has their meetings Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month at the American Red Cross office, 1031 Route 32, Montville. The meetings start at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. Am I accurate? That information may or may not be accurate. We'd like to thank John W1AN for the use of the W1DX Salem repeater. It got some use tonight. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is November Kilo 1 Victor. Good evening to all. 7-3.